GAA on Off the Ball.
You're very welcome back to Come on, Luke Lascale, Guidor. Am I pronouncing that correctly? There's been much consternation about the pronunciation. All I've been told is it's not Guidor.
No.
Guidor?
No. Guidor, yeah.
But it sounds like you're saying Guidor.
No.
You need to say it like you mean it, Guidor.
Hopefully by the end of the night, maybe a trip to your place, we'll have it sorted. We've got a very warm welcome. I want you to extend a very warm welcome. We have a couple of special guests up in the front row here. We're just up on stage. Jason and Matthew. Matthew, stand up. Throw the arm up in the air. So Matthew's traveled all the way from Clonus. He was in hospital, when was it, over the last couple of weeks? 2 weeks ago, broke his wrist, going up for a high ball, broke his wrist, was in the car on the way home, heard the show been advertised, told his dad, get a couple of tickets, and they've driven up from Clonus this evening to be with us. So fair play. We are here tonight with thanks to Super Value, who are celebrating 10 years as sponsor of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship, and we want to talk about the success of this club. And you know, we spend a lot of time talking about money and Dublin and investment. You're keeping a little bit of a secret down here when you walk into this place. Look at this venue. The weight room out there. Dublin footballers don't have anything like that. What's going on? Where's all the money coming from?
We're no touts.
It's a bit like open day around here, is it? Don't ask.
In fairness, I suppose we are lucky. We've some great people around the club. You talk about money and different things other places don't have. We don't have that. You know, even employment and stuff around here. It's tough at the moment for everybody around here, but I think football and I suppose language and heritage and culture is what makes us. And especially the GA pitch. You know, it's what we've grown up to want to do. And it's, you know, if you come here any day of the week now, there's kids out there playing games, and it's all down to the coaches and people who give their time every day of the week. So we're blessed.
Yeah, even tonight in the lashing rain outside, I think there was under 14 training, there was girls training taking place. It seems as though the club is in a healthy place. I know, Eamon, you're off living in Letterkenny now, but you're still based here, your business is here, relying a lot on the tourist trade, I'd imagine. You're working, you have a Gaeltacht as well up here. Like, are things going well, or is this a part of rural Ireland that's struggling at the moment?
We are definitely struggling. There's no two ways about it. You know, we don't get probably the influx of tourists and stuff that other parts of the world get. But, you know, we are what we are, and would I want to live anywhere else? Absolutely no way. It's a special place. There's special people here. And, you know, it's just great to be a part of a community which is based around, like we said, the language and especially the sport. And we are in a good place at the minute, and I think after especially the success the lads have had this year, everybody wants to play for Guidor, and that can only be good.
Yeah, I think we all saw from the social media how it did bring the town, the village. It's not sort of one little village. There seems to be many little villages interspersed around the place. 2018 then, like, it had been, what, 12 years since the last county title? Had this been coming? Was there underage success over the last few years that had been building towards this at senior level?
I think there was a lot of good work put in underage. You know, a lot of credit goes to the boys that set up an underage structure. They did a lot of work in schools. They sat down and they didn't want pats on the back. There was no egos that says, we tick all the boxes to be a successful club. We tick tradition. You know, we have the identity with the language. We have a large population. As you say, Guidor is massive. We should be winning at least one in county titles. And they sat down and they got this structure in place. A lot of good people got involved in underage. You know, thankfully, there was a few county lads, myself, Kevin, that lads could aspire to be. Whether we were good role models or not is another debate. But, you know, we were out there and that was the end goal. You know, I do it in my club. I go on to play for the county. And that's how they promoted it. And I think it's even county boards. I think there's a good example here that, you know, you get a lot of people talking about we need to change the structures, and they want the pats on the backs. They want the ego, you know, massaged. Definitely didn't happen. And it's due to them boys, this great under 21 team that came through. It came all the way from under 10s, under 12s. And I think, were they hammered in the first game at under 10s? Progressed, kept on going. And they won an under 21 title last year, and they gave us the belief then. They pushed it on. We fed off their energy.
Was that a team that hadn't been beaten in the previous four or 5 years?
Yeah. And, you know, the likes of Tom Bug and, you know, Sean Diver and these boys put in massive hours with them. They love playing for Gidor, and they just gave us the kick that we needed, and we fed off their energy.
Where were you 12 months ago, Kevin, in terms of going back for another year, your commitment to the club? Was it an automatic you'd be available for a selection?
No, not really, to be honest with you. I thought my days were gone. Mervyn O'Donnell came in, and initially it was just before last year, it was just to come back and to be fit to come off the bench for 15, 20 minutes if needed. The lads blew Glenties out of the water in the semi-final, and, you know, we just let them back in, and Glenties beat us in the semi-final, and coming home that night kind of hurt me, and I was thinking, fuck, could I have done it, and could have been in better shape myself to contribute more. And I think it was just, we met then after that, and, you know, Eamon touched base with Michael Boyle, who's an incredible coach, and he just took things to another level. And, you know, people keep saying, what changed? I don't know, what changed? Everybody just lifted everything, and we got on a roll, and we fed off the young lads, and I think the young lads fed off us, and just it worked.
You getting together for that sort of conversation as the senior men, the icons of this place, was that something that could have happened 3-4 years ago, going back to what happened with Donegal? Like, would you have been as comfortable to have that sort of conversation?
I think maybe for the benefit of the club, you know, we would have had that conversation, but it would have been, like, there's no point saying otherwise, it might have been strained. You know, there was a lot of hurt there. And, you know, thankfully this year, kind of, I think it's put to bed now, is it?
As long as there's no alcohol.
Well, we can settle it now.
No, listen, the Donegal thing annoyed me more, the fact that it kind of had an effect in our club. Not that I didn't care about what happened to Donegal, but the fact that it was having an effect on the pitch in our club, it kind of annoyed me. And listen, me and Eamon have our differences, but don't be silly enough to come in between us, because he would kill for me and I would kill for him. That's the way it is. And I think last year, we probably didn't come at as much to the club as we should have done through the years. And I think last year we came to a realisation that there was a good squad of players there, and that if it was going to go forward, we had to put everything into it. You know, he emptied the tank, I emptied the tank, and then everybody around us emptied the tank, so it went well.
Maybe I should have sussed out everybody when they were upstairs in the bar earlier to see what that time was like for everybody else in the club, when you have two of the biggest stars maybe not on the best of terms. Like, now that you look back and everybody's mature about it, like, do you think it did have an effect on a lot of other people around the club? Like, are people having to choose sides?
I don't necessarily. I think like we're two big personalities, like, and we're going to clash at the best of times. So we've done this thing has happened, and that's just, you know, normally when me and Kevin have clashed, you know, many times before it, and we've always come back. But with this, it just kept on diverging a wee bit, and it was harder and harder to come back. But again, like, there was nobody going to pick sides, because they had as much love for Kevin as they had for me. Because that's what a club is, you know. You just, your club's your family. Like, you can't, in the normal way things are going, you're born into your club, be it a junior club, be it a, you know, intermediate club, be it a senior club, and that's it. More often than not, you don't move club, and you just have to get on with things. You know, you can't. Probably we let it linger that wee bit too long, but thankfully, you know, we've seen there was a wee window for success, an opportunity, maybe a county title. And when I finished at Donegal, the thing was just steady the ship, stabilise the ship, get these under 21 lads. It'd probably be too late for you to get that county title, but, you know, you've done your part. And Kevin came in and probably just says, I want to help out with the club, his brother-in-law, and, you know, thankfully it worked out.
At what stage along the journey do you think, actually, this plan is working? Probably faster than we ever imagined?
I think, honestly, I don't know what you think, Eamon, but I think our first game out in St Union's, you spoke about the rivalry earlier on,
even way before, you know, the 40s, whatever, that was always the big clash. And we joke about the number of titles that each club have. So going out there, we wanted to lay down a marker. And I remember somebody was stupid enough to bump into Neil McGee in the tunnel on the way into the game. And I just felt like that was before. We played terrible because I think that threw us off. But every last man was going to sort that out because he was one of us and there's no way you do that to us. Didn't play well.
But they actually did. And like to this day, I don't understand the logic of it. Was you have Neil, you have Cass, you have Kieran Gillespie, you have a few other tight units there. And Unions would be a fairly light team. And they just decided to jog right down to our warm-up to try and disrupt us. And they were put on their way anyway. And
politely asked to leave.
He says, do you mind just moving on there, lads? but no, as Kevin says, it affected our game, but you know, it was a dogged affair. And we just kind of had to dig it out. And you know, that's where you start. That was the start of it then.
So then you get to the county final. Nev Connell, was it in the final?
Yeah.
A 15th county title, whether or not you actually went past Unions, was that a motivating factor?
No, I don't think for me anyway it wasn't a motive. Was it for you?
It probably would have been in the back of my head that the number thing. And I think one of the Unis lads put up a tweet the night before the game questioning how many titles we had, and I let it sit until after the game, then I reminded how many we had then after we won it. But now listen, we just wanted to get that title so badly. I think we did think that our chance was gone. And I think it was more the fact that we knew how good this crop were coming through. And I said it loads of times, if they won one, then the opportunity there is to go on. Our job was just to do whatever we could to make that happen.
Donegal sides had such a terrible record in the Ulster Club Championship. Was the county championship the limit of your aspirations the whole way through? Was it just get this county championship and we never really concern ourselves too much with what happens afterwards?
I think Kevin's answer might be different, but for me, the county championship, that was it. You know, I thought we might not have progressed as much, but you know, what happened was that under 21 team, their belief, we fed into that, and you know, we started carrying ourselves like we had a Donegal jersey on. Like we went out and we played the Antrim champions, the Armagh champions, Cross McGlen, and our experience with the county helped with them lads that just they were going into Ulster and they just expected a win. You know, we'd gone into Ulster as Donegal champions and we didn't. We just thought championship is good enough. And I think Kevin, you know, I'm not sure, it might have been hazy one night, but he says you believed you were going to win Ulster, like you had it in the back of your head.
Yeah, I remember, I think, I don't know, we played a league game, but Corrifan were playing in the Galway Championship, and they were 2 points down, and they came back to draw, and I remember thinking in my head, fuck, they were nearly gone, and that's on my kid's life. I just believed that we could get to Croke Park, I honestly did, and once we won the county, I think, the big one for me was up in Carrigan, because it was our first time. Mm-hmm. Once that game was over, we knew what we had. We lost Big Gillespie, probably our best player that year. We'd lost him that day, and he was gone for the season, but I knew the kind of lads we had around us, and with a wee bit of luck, we could have got there.
And that under 21 squad then, who obviously maybe have different aspirations, different expectations of what they can achieve as club players even, like, was that evident very quickly, even after winning the county title? You go, you enjoy the celebrations, that rather than letting that run on and run on and run on, that they wanted to get back down to work?
They're just a different generation. That's
You just can't understand them.
No, I generally can't, because we come from, you know, when I came into the Gador team and I would looked up to the likes of Brendan and Pierce Coyle, and you know, I was so different to them and they had a different way going on. And now we're at the stage now where, you know, me and Kevin would be used to this roaring and shouting, and you know, these boys are in the dressing room and they're kicking ball against the wall and they're laughing and they're listening to music, and nothing fazed them. They're going into play Ulster, and you know, it could have been playing Armagh County, or it could have been playing a county team, but they were just going out and they were just going to do their job and just do it well for the club.
The belief then you gained from beating Cross McGlen in the semi-final, was that another key point along the road?
I think it was, because of what Crew Cross are, and it, probably more so for the older lads. The younger lads, I made a comment before the game, I don't think half of them knew who Cross McGlen were, honestly. It's just, we were roaring about Cross McGlen and the great players they have. They were looking and looking around and saying, what's this boy roaring at? Like, to them, it was just a game. And, you know, I think that's the kind of people they are. They're so grounded, they're so hard-working. They just see it as something they have to do and something they love doing. So I think after we beat Cross McGlen, we were more happier than they were.
So getting to the final then against Scotstown, miserable day in Omagh, 13-12. Rory Began has a 45 right at the end, one of the best in the country in this sort of situation. Like, clearly at this stage, I guess everybody here knows what it would mean to you to win an Ulster club title. Can you remember what was going through your head as he was stepping up towards that 45?
We probably thought he was going to stick it, to be honest.
Definitely. I thought this man has it. And, you know, by right, the ref should have took it forward, because, you know, they were pushing away at Began and the ref would have been entitled to take it forward. And it was a kind of, you know, 50-50 call in the first foul. So he knew, if I give this one, I'm going to be a right bollocks if I take it in. But even the distance, I thought Began has this, and you're just thinking.
Then worst of all, Big Peter grabs a massive ball and then he slices it into the fucking crowd and somebody else picks it up just when we thought we had it.
But I was looking at it and, you know, I thought, Peter, just hold the ball. And he just boots the ball straight to Scotstown, man. And, you know, that was, you know, you talk about the 1-0 Ireland, just to win that Ulster Championship, and, you know, probably a name that hasn't been mentioned yet Kevin mentioned him, was Mervyn, like his brother-in-law. And, you know, for him, he came in and got doors rock bottom. There was, you know, Kevin and Eamon were at each other's throats, and there was team with no belief we hadn't got out of the group. And he just came in and he got the whole thing together and he pushed it on. And you're happy for him. You're happy to see Lexi Cass won, Owen McNeilis, and your two brothers. And it was just such an amazing feeling there.
For you, it obviously meant absolutely everything, because, all right, you weren't there for Donegal, but for this day, for your club, for your people, where you've spent the majority of your life, where you continue to live, where you've got your business, you see everybody here pretty much every single day, to know that you'll always have that must be an incredible, special thing.
Yeah, without a doubt. And I think it's those last 3 or 4 minutes when you're nearly there, you know, when you're thinking, we nearly have it, but you think it's going to be taken away from you. And then when the final whistle goes, it's something that'll live with you for the rest of your life. Not for us as players, we keep saying we played, but for the people who came to watch, for the young lads who now go out here to train day in, day out, because their club has won an Ulster title. They have that kind of a belief that Cross McGlen had in these great teams. It's up to the rest of the generations now to push it on further.
Rough estimate, how long did the celebrations go on for? Do you have like a 1 month reunion, 3 month reunion, 6 month reunion?
No, I think, to be honest, myself and Eamon, we had a good session on the Sunday, but he was taken by the ear then out to Letterkenny on Monday afternoon.
I have twins, Nathan. I have twins and a wee girl, 3-year-old, so my party days are kind of well and truly behind me.
Well, I think it was noticeable looking at your Instagram and your Snapchat. Your younger brother, though, wasn't as sensible, I don't think.
He wasn't up for babysitting. I
wouldn't mind. I was trying to say, you know, Joanna might head in the road for a few hours here. And she was saying, did you see Twitter?
You were ruining it for him. He's like, no, just getting the 30 of us together, a quiet night.
It'll be a quiet
bit
one.
Of food.
This boy and Neil are there challenging Cara Finney to come on. And she's saying, you're not going anywhere near Keogh.
Was this a profitable time in the pub, or were you... I was trying to figure out what the dynamic was.
Believe me.
Were you charging all your teammates?
We caused more damage to the place than we did drinks there, but no, listen, it was a fantastic few days. Would I do it again? Absolutely. You have to celebrate those times. If you don't, what's the point in playing? You know, probably like Donegal, people are looking on thinking, Jesus, how did them Gidor lads ever won anything? Well, we celebrated when the time was right to celebrate. All year, there wasn't a question of Emily stepping her lane or Emily not going doing the hard yards. It's easy to celebrate once you have the hard work done, you know.
Which is why, you know, there was a lot of annoyance at Brady. You know, Brady didn't even name the club, and he named on about videos that cost us an All-Ireland semi-final. And, you know, Kevin and Neil were probably the face of the videos. And I knew how hard they've trained and what they've put on. And, you know, he's blaming a video done 2 months ago that cost us a game against Corfin. And I thought it was disrespectful to Corfin too, that one of the greatest club teams we've ever seen, we just couldn't get near them. And he's on a bit of video with these boys. Silly old video, like, and I just thought it was pretty disrespectful and kind of disappointed he didn't make the journey down with you.
He's out of the country. He would have loved to have been here, he said, and I'm sure he would have been more than able to defend himself in situation. Did you wake up the next morning going, oh, what have I just said? It's about Curfin.
Honestly,
yes.
It was Wednesday before I even knew what was going on. we had enjoyed ourselves for a few days, and once I finally got myself together on Wednesday, I was flicking through and, you know, but sure, listen, would I do the same thing sober? Absolutely, yeah. Just maybe the language, I probably wouldn't have used the language.
Yeah. Everybody in the club and obviously in the entire locality was then brought back down to earth with the terrible tragedy January 27th. Four young men from the locality, I think we should give them a mention tonight, John Harley, Sean Harkin, Daniel Scott, and Micheál Rorty. Micheál was a member of the club. He was very much a member of the squad. Like, after such celebrations, for such tragedy to unfold in this part of the world, like, for ye as players, must have been an incredibly difficult time for everybody here.
You know, it was fairly difficult. It was just hard to compute because the day before, you know, we're just in the dressing room back and out the back there, and, you know, even thinking about it now, I says to him, I was sitting beside him, and I says, make sure you train now tomorrow. We need you. And he says, yeah. And he talked about heading away to Australia in April, and, you know, I says, right, that's good. Just make sure you save plenty of money. And he went out the door, and, you know, Neil then gives you the bell, and you, once I seen it online, there was an accident in the Gidoh area, and Neil rang, and I seen Neil's name come up, and I says, right, there's somebody we know here. And he told me then it was Micheál, like, and that's tough to take, like, once, and someone you've watched grow up, like, I coached him at the school level, and I coached him all the way up, and it was just watching the club move, you know, you go through the shock, and then watching the club move into gear, and, you know, help out at the funeral, and obviously there was a few of the lads that were fairly close to we called him Roycey, but like Micheál, that was his nickname, Micheál, like, so Owen and Sean Cundy and Sean Boyle, there was their group, and to watch them hurt, to see them hurt and to see his family hurt, and it was tight time now, but, you know, we were all hurting together, and that's how we got through it, like, we came together, and we just were there for each other, and, you know, that's all you could do, like, it put it into perspective, you know. I think me and Kevin were parents now, and we think, well, we worry about different things now. We don't worry about silly stuff. We kind of have a different perspective in life, and you go into a wee kind of mind space then, and you project away, and it was a tough time, but no, we came through it together, like, and it was good to see for a club, like, to come together.
There's, for anyone who comes up here to Guido, as you walk around the clubhouse here, there's pictures of Roycey, as he called them, dotted around the place. Like, it's still, Kevin, so raw. It's only a matter of months ago for everybody.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's tough for everybody involved. And I think those few days in the community, like, every community has tragedy and terrible things happen and hard luck stories and what have you. But those 3 or 4 days, the parish was just completely numb. I've never felt any leg before in my life, and I hope we never have to go through it again. But as you say, you know, I touched everybody in the community, and especially with what I see, you know, everybody knew from, I'd say every county in Ireland knew. And we kept talking about the way we were talking about one another, all Ireland, what we do. Like, I had countless conversations with Roycey, and he would keep saying, imagine the crack we'd have if we won the county title. Imagine the crack we'd have. You know, thankfully, you know, he's in some of those videos, and we had some fantastic days. And, you know, it's tough for everybody, but more importantly, the family and the close friends, you know.
You obviously have to then go on and play the All-Ireland semi-final. And I know, I think at the time you spoke about it, it couldn't be a crusade because, you know, you can't go out and say we're going to win the All-Ireland firm, because if you don't, then you feel like you're letting people down. Like, the discussions that are going on in the dressing room at that stage are obviously, like, the match is in some ways irrelevant, but in some ways is more important than ever.
I think Kevin organised Mickey Hart to come down, and I think that was a good start. That was kind of, you know, let's get focused. And I was actually quoting Mickey there when I says we can't make this a crusade about, because he, unfortunately, he's went through, you know, Paul McGurr and Cormac McNallan, and I thought that was great advice. I thought that, you know, all we can do is just keep doing what we're doing. Obviously, we're going to be hurting. We just got to be strong and keep training. And, you know, what is also in the back of our head that our pain was nothing really to what the family and, you know, the relatives were going through. So I don't think, for me anyway, it just wasn't too hard to go out and try and do the goods. Like, you know, we could just, if we'd won, it would have been nice. If we lost, you know, that's part of it too. Like.
Similar for you?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, the first day or two, football, nobody cares about it, everybody forgets about it. But then, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, this fixture's set in stone, that game still has to be played. We have to still turn up. So I think when we got together and spoke about how we'd manage it, it was going to be grand for the older lads, but the younger lads, you know, we had to make sure that we were doing the right thing for them. And the collective decision was to go back the night of the funeral to train. And I think when we got down here together as a group, we felt a wee bit normal again, because everybody was together. We were doing stuff that we were used to doing. And I think from that moment on, everybody, listen, you still think about them here and there, and you see wee things and you think, but I think everybody just kind of, we didn't make a crusade of it. We just wanted to go out and do the very best we could.
When you look around the club now, and obviously a terrible tragedy like that does bring a club closer together and brings people closer together. When you look around at the facilities and the amount of children that are involved in the club now, are you very hopeful for what's to come for Guido over the coming years?
Yeah, definitely. We're taking his kids in, that's for sure. They're not staying out with seniors, but I think success breeds success. Those people growing up now are watching what happened last year. Hopefully, it's up to us again to continue that on this year and to make sure they're still watching. Our under 16 team won the county championship there a few nights ago. Our minors had a great one last night. So everything's going the right way, and we have some great people here at the helm of those teams. So hopefully.
Just on the whole success, my wee girl, and this is all she says whenever she sees football, is up Gidor. So. Could be Liverpool playing, it could be Donegal playing. She goes, up, Gidor.
So no chance she's going to play for Unions?
If I can get someone to take the kids in and out. It's that journey, a busy parent, in and out to Gidor. I think I'm just going to have to bite the bullet and buy him a Unions jersey.
That row just started again, by the way.
But do you not remember the stupidity of the Unions players in the first round of the championship? You can't be putting your children into that.
I'll tell them to pick and choose his moments and don't walk through a warm-up with Neil McGee and Kevin Cassidy.
We can edit that out of the radio broadcast if you want, just in case it causes consternation. We are here tonight with thanks to SuperValu, who are celebrating 10 years as sponsor of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. I want to bring Brendan Devaney back up on stage, and also you might give a warm round of applause to Oisin Kiernan, Cavan footballer and also SuperValu ambassador, because we're going to look ahead to the Super 8. Thanks for joining us, Oisin, especially so soon after the disappointment of the weekend, the defeat against Tyrone.
Yeah,
tough to take.
Thanks very much for having me. Yeah, probably a disappointment, but looking back on the year, there is positives there. It's not too easy to see them now, but we'll come together at the end of the year and we'll look back on it, and getting to notice the final, I suppose, is a positive, but the last two games, we probably didn't do ourselves justice, so we'll have to learn from that.
The pop psychology around it is probably that you invested so much in the Ulster final. There's so much weight attached to an Ulster final in Cavan, and it's been so long that you put absolutely everything into it and you simply just couldn't get yourselves back up for the Tyrone game.
Yeah, well, they say you get a hangover from the province final, but it didn't seem like that. But maybe it was there. We don't know. It's hard to put a finger on it. But it didn't seem like that coming up to the Tyrone game. But it just didn't happen there on the day.
Yeah. The Ulster final, though, and the sort of magic of the Ulster final from a Cavan point of view, must have been a very enjoyable couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was brilliant. The buzz about it, it's unbelievable. And those are the days that you train for, that's where you want to be. So we'll obviously be going next year, obviously, to get back there. But it was great buzz about the county, all right, yeah.
Yeah. It gives you time now to draw breath, I guess, at the end of the season after a pretty crazy 10, 12 months. You might talk to us and tell everyone here about your story. You were diagnosed with testicular cancer, was it 10 months ago?
Yeah, the end of last August, we were playing with Castrahan in the Cavan Championship, and middle of the Championship, everything seemed fine. We were playing away. I described it as a divot or a slight lump. I left it alone. I wanted to keep playing, and we were going well at the time. I left about 5-6 weeks, so I just said I'd mention to my father. I didn't think much of it. I was doing a bit of Googling, which is probably not the right thing to do. I went over to the GP then in Cool, and I knew by his reaction that something probably wasn't right. He sent me for a scan the next morning, and I remember training actually that night, and I was kind of testing myself to see, and I felt 100%. I was thinking, there can't be anything wrong with me. Then when I got the scan, and that morning I went back to work, and the GP had rang me then just as I arrived, saying to call back over to him. So he diagnosed me that morning with testicular cancer. From there, my father had it twice, so him and my brother went over that morning. So it's calm enough. We get the operation and try and get back playing. We were playing the quarterfinal that Saturday. Obviously, wasn't allowed to play, which I wanted to play, but because I felt that good. But that's where it all started, really.
Yeah. When you got the diagnosis, you were calm enough, were you? Was that internally, how were you feeling?
I was calm enough about it, really. It was just something that had to be done. Just go get the operation. I'll be back in 4 or 5 weeks. I rang Donald Keoghan, then manager, and told him the story. And we were training up towards Dublin that night, just to come to Dublin, lads. But he said, we'll talk to the lads tonight and I'll tell them. So probably that night when he told the lads before we went out to train, that's what probably hit me then. I seen all their faces, the shock on their face, and I was kind of thinking, maybe this is a bit more than I initially thought, but it turned out it wasn't really. Obviously then we got to the county final. I was back training the Friday night before, but the doctor said no, that it probably hadn't healed right. So county final then went well. We won it, obviously. Then the next morning, I was back up in Dublin for results of a scan that I had after the operation, and he said then I have to go for 4 rounds of chemo that had spread right up into my stomach. So that was the next thing then. Obviously back to Ballyduffin and celebrate with the lads and for a couple of days, obviously, but that was coming. But I played the first round of Ulster then against Coleraine, so I was happy to get back playing that, and the 4 rounds of chemo to come then.
You're obviously an incredibly mentally strong person, that when you're receiving this news, it doesn't sound as though it's set you back massively, that actually you're just keen to go back, get out with your mates, still be a part of the group.
Yeah, they did help massively. Just being around them and with them, it's like a big family, as the lads were saying earlier. So I was straight back to them, really, and it just took it day by day. I wasn't sure what was coming ahead, but it was just whatever had to be done, had to be done. So I went through the chemo then, through the months of up until February, And Mickey had rang and said to come and go or come into the lads and just keep in contact and do what
Mickey
you can.
Mickey Graham, the cabin manager.
Yeah, sorry. Just keep in contact and come and go, do what you can. So the doctor said to train away and push the body. He said years ago we would have advised not to do that, but the way it's gone now, to train away. So that's what I done. And
this is while you're undergoing chemo.
Yeah, I had taken off work then, obviously, because I work on a pig farm, so it wasn't ideal to do that. So all I did then was train and go on hikes and different things. I remember going up to Hoth one day, and we were walking up, and I was with my girlfriend, and obviously at this time I was probably bloated, looked very pale and had no hair, and I was kind of down in my hunkers after walking a couple of K, and she turned around and says, "What's wrong with you? Will you come on?" So that was the kind of...
There was
no sympathy, but I didn't want the sympathy. I wanted it. That's the way I wanted it, and that's the way it was.
She's still your girlfriend?
Yeah. She sure is.
Sorry, and this is 4 or 5 months ago, and you've gone on to play every championship game for Cavan this summer.
Yes. Then. It's the February, was the last round of chemo, and then I got a scan, obviously, and March I got the all clear, but I was just training away and waiting for the chemo, obviously, to go out of my system so I could get back and get the fitness back. So then I got on against Dublin the last league game, which was a good preparation just for Monaghan, so just lucky enough I got back in the squad and back in playing, so got on and started against Monaghan then.
So your first game back is against Dublin?
Yeah.
Off the bench.
To come on against Dublin, yeah.
How are you feeling? Like, were you feeling I'm where I was before the diagnosis?
Fairly close. My hair was starting to grow back. Looking back, it probably wasn't fully 100%, but I wasn't far off. And the fitness really, once the chemo started to go out of your body, the fitness really started to come back. You know, every training session I felt was improving. So it came back quick enough, lucky enough. So come Monaghan then, I was 100% again.
Remind the lads here what happened in that game.
Sorry.
A few tears, I think, off the front row now. And were there, like, there must have been moments, I guess, when you're going through this where you are, like, never mind worrying about inter-county, you've got far greater concerns. Or did you just get yourself into such a mindset that you wouldn't even think about things?
I think I was just in that mindset, and I was just kind of in the zone and just focusing on getting back, and I was with the lads all the time, and I think that helped massively too, that I didn't really think about anything else. I was training away and I was happy to do that, and so it was just to focus on the football and getting back, which is a massive help.
Yeah, it's remarkable, like 10 months for all that to happen.
Yeah, at the time I was just going through it, I didn't even know it was 10 months, so... With us finished now, it's probably, I look back on it now, but I'll take a few days off and go back into the club season.
Yeah. Does it put everything into context? Like, when you lose an Ulster final, does it put everything into context, or is the hurt as much as it would be?
No, the hurt is definitely there. Probably because we didn't do ourselves justice. That's what it's probably more so too. We felt we didn't in the last two games, but... Look, these are top teams, and you learn from playing them, so that's what we'll have to do now.
Yeah. How top a team are Donegal right now, do you think?
They're a very good side. Obviously, playing both teams, I know they played in Breffni. I'm not sure if Tyrone are that far behind them, because Donegal looked completely on top that day. But I think Tyrone have a bit of momentum now coming in, so obviously Dublin are up there at the top, and then there's Mayo, Kerry, Donegal and Tyrone, which are very close after that. So it'll be an interesting Super 8s.
Yeah, I think everyone's incredibly excited about the Super 8s this year, particularly that group that Donegal are in, alongside Mayo, Kerry, Meath. Like, everyone, I think, Kevin, feels it's going to be 2 from 3 and that Meath are seen as all-arounds. Is that how you look at it?
I think so. I don't think that's any disrespect to Meath. I just don't think they're at the level that the other three are at. Looking at ourselves, first of all, we have to beat Meath this weekend. You're looking at going to Kerry then, and Croke Park. If the result's not positive, you're then looking to go to Castlebar, 8-1. So it's tough. We were chatting earlier on. I do expect all three teams to lose. So it could be down to scoring averages and that sort of stuff, you know.
What's changed with Donegal this year? Is it the Stephen Rochford factor?
I think Rochford has a big say. You know, they're not saying much, but anything I do chat them, they speak of Rochford in, you know, very high regard. I think, you know, between, and this shows you the influence Michael has on, you know, Donegal GAA, between Michael and Boner, they would have sat down himself, Carol Lacey's involved there, and yeah, we need to find a way to get pressing higher up the field.
How do you go about doing that?
You know, Donny Buckley. I think they were interested in Donny Buckley at the start. Buckley had probably nailed his colours what Kerry, once the Kerry job was available, and he done the coach there. Next in line was Rochford, because Mayo are probably the best at that high press. You know, just putting the pressure on. Still can't understand how Kevin McLaughlin just does not get booked. Killeen O'Connor doesn't get booked.
Cut all this bit out. But how dare you?
Sorry. The way it is, it's such a transition for Donegal. They were just sitting back, and you see it in club football. You ask when you do any coaching nowadays, you ask boys, you know, to even take part in that simple art of tackling. You know, you've seen the Galway thing. Just, I think we've lost a bit of that tackling, and it takes coaches, defensive coaches, the likes of Lacey, the likes of Rochford's the general coach, the likes of Rochford to coach that back into the game. Know when. If you watch Carr's goal the last day, their positional sense was terrible. You know, Brannigan came in half hard to tackle. He just let him pass. And I'm not taking away the goal, the actual execution of the goal was brilliant, but the mechanics and, you know, the spatial awareness of all the defenders was just terrible. And that's where you need to start. When you just start to teach players how to become good defenders, get them to press out the field.
And is there a difference between being a good defender and being a good tackler? Because everyone seems to feel that the tackle is so poorly defined. It's very, even Carl Lacey, I think, was on the show recently talking about trying to coach tackling. He said, you know, struggling to understand what exactly is a good tackle in Gaelic football
right now. For every referee has a different interpretation of that tackle, and it's very hard to, you know, nail down. You know, if you lined up five referees there, they would explain the tackle differently. But the basics of it, there's stuff you can work on the stance, you can work, and no, it's not just defenders that'll have good tackling. Forwards can also have good tackling, and just work on the mechanics, dogging it out. And I find, I don't know, do any agree with me, but forwards are just a lazy, selfish breed. Especially corner forwards. And, you know,
I'm not sure if he's best placed to definitely work.
I see that, you know, you're trying, defense all about hard work, you know, grafting it out, just breaking your man down. And that's the first part of it. It's basically a duel between you and the man you're doing the tackle on. And the first sign of hard work, the corner forward's going to give up. And
say, my God, yeah. Jim McGuinness brainwashed this boy. Who won the matches, anyway? You're on about Rochford there. I think it's probably taken away from Boner and Paul McGonigal's in the background there as well, and Lacey. Rochford came with a fresh style this year, and he's upstairs watching games. He stays up where we are on the radio, helping out, but he's a great voice in the background. But he came with a clean slate. Most people know Donegal, know the players, and probably have their minds made up about them. He came on very fresh, and he told the boys that at the start of the year. But if you look at where we're at in Donegal, how are we going to get an All-Ireland, someone who's All-Ireland experienced, to come in and coach us? We're not going to take it from Tyrone, because they don't want to come in here. We don't want them anyway. We're not, like, you have Dublin, it's too far. Kerry's too far. Who else is there, really? At this point, you had to take someone from Mayo, and we're lucky Rochford came up. I think the big jump in Donegal this year is...
Did you just say All-Ireland, wanting experience from Mayo?
All-Ireland finalists. Sorry, Nathan, this thing's going to come all night. The big jump we don't go this year is Patton, right? We have a few players that have jumped from last year. Patton was a good keeper. had decent kickouts. He has gone right up there to top. McMenamin, who had made doubts about his county player, has been an unreal season. McGee's come back in the midfield. McFadden's playing unbelievable stuff at midfield. Again, a guy, time and time again, I was watching, I wasn't sure if he was, like, if he was a proper county player, he's unbelievable. Jimmy Brennan has completely stepped up. And those players, as I say, with McGee coming back now, and we already had the basis of a good team. I don't know what the difference is with them guys, but Donegal just look right on the money. I think defensively down the middle of our defence, we still have a few issues, but going forward we're good, and that's why probably the Kerry game's going to be a great test for us, because their strength is in their forward line too. If we can handle that at all, you never know. But I think we still have to be tested out. But I agree with Oisín, Tyrone are coming down the tracks again. That's going to be a very different proposition should we meet them.
Michael Murphy's influence there, you talk about he sits down with Declan Bonner. Is his influence on this squad that strong that he would sit down with the management and...
He's not going to dictate to the management.
Not dictate, but help them plot out the season.
You know, if he sees things that's not happy, and he's been about, he's worked with Larry Kenny IT, he enjoys coaching, and if he sees something, he's going to bring it up, and he's going to drive it. His influence on the squad, how he chats to people, you know, if he... The vision he has for Donegal, you know, that's what he wants. He wants to see Donegal lift another Sam Maguire.
Was that always there? Because obviously Jim McGuinness gave him the captaincy at, what, 21? Was anybody in Donegal surprised when he did that?
Nobody at all. I think Jim seen that from fairly early on, and it was just as soon as he got into the job, Murphy was captain, because there was, you know, Cass was a big personality there. You had Neil Gallagher, a lot of the lads, Kavanagh. And Jim just says, no, Murphy. And so he's obviously recognised it earlier on. And what we all thought was, you just love GA. You know, this leader he turned out to be, and this driving force, you could see wee bits of it, but it wasn't out there all the time. And Jim just brought it all forth, brought it to the surface, and he just drives the whole thing. And
is he very vocal in the dressing room?
Yeah, he vocally talks to the lads, he's chatting all the time. You know, there's even times where I say, just take the captaincy off him, that he doesn't have to talk, but you just talk anyway. And you just leave him at it. And the thing he says is always, he always talks about the love for Donegal, and doing it for, he's so much respect, and he's so loved, you know. I think that you don't say a bad word about it. If you're coming to Donegal now, do not say a bad word about Murphy, because you just don't go there. Just he respects the supporters and he respects Donegal GA, and they just love him back.
Yeah, we had dodgy a couple of performances at the start of the league, and we're playing Armagh, and we're dodgy again. And Murphy comes on the pitch, and I remember, I've never actually seen this before, but the whole attitude of our team changed. You know, we have a lot of good young players, but you need a core of experience right through the team, just like Goodwood have with the boys here. You need that, and then everything can work around that. And without Michael there in particular, and more of the boys come back after it, but he came on the pitch, he could feel everything change, and he had the ball in the net within a couple of minutes. And it just, like, the change in us, you know, like, we were lucky to get out of Division 2 this year because we were so bad at the start, and now we're suddenly being put second fiddle to Dublin. But a lot of that comes to Michael. You couldn't speak highly of him. For me, I mean, we had this discussion with London there last weekend for a Donegal fundraiser / 2-day piss-up. thanks, Trasa, for nursing me back to health. It's a few tight nights, but all for the county, you know. we had this discussion.
Take one for the team, good
the,
man.
The best ever, you know, like Tony Boyle, Anthony Malloy, and all of us amateur. Nobody can even come in the same breath as Michael. You know, not only the player he was, but what he's done now.
And it's something, you know, like Sashin over there, it's probably one of the first bits of analysis that they'll sit down and, you know, we stop Murphy, we make him struggle. The boys see Murphy struggle, then, you know, it's going to have that ripple effect. And you know,
who's been good at that? Who's made him struggle?
I think one that's cast up to him all the time is Aidan O'Mahony. You know, 2014 final. People forget the amount of times that Michael's done it and pulled us out of the fire, and it's just, you just can't be good all the time. Justin McMahon used to have plenty of battles. I think Hamzy's taking on that role now with Tyrone. But probably the one that's going to be held over him until he goes on and wins that next All-Ireland is the Aidan O'Mahony one.
Oisín, when you're playing against him, does he have that aura for the opposition?
Yeah, he's obviously a massive leader. And they have a good mix now too, as Brendan said, with the young lads coming through. But he is a massive leader for them, and he will be play a massive part, obviously, in Super 8. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, like, we didn't even touch on Paddy McBrearty looking like he's back to pretty much at his best. You got Ryan McHugh. You've got, like, it's a pretty star-studded team, a huge amount of experience, a huge amount of energy, playing a very attractive style of football. There's a lot to like about this Donegal team.
Yeah, definitely. I think we're talking about Michael. He can probably do it all, but the thing he does most for Donegal is he's unselfish. So teams are focusing on Michael, and you have a Jamie Brennan exploding onto the scene, you have a Patrick McBrearty. So I think that's what makes Donegal so dangerous at the minute, because if you're any team in the country now, you're going to sit down, you're going to seriously analyse where Michael is, what's going to do. It may take two men to shut him down. That means somebody else is going to. And in fairness, this year the lads have stepped up massively. Jamie Brennan's taking on a lot of responsibility. Patrick's yet to catch fire. I know he's come back from injury, but now it's perfectly set up for him. So listen, I think obviously the Dubs are up there, but I think after the Dubs, Donegal have to be close.
What happens as the summer goes on and Donegal end up facing Dublin at some stage, hopefully along the way? Do Donegal go 15-on-15? Have they got a game plan specially designed for Dublin?
I think, you know, you ask any manager that has aspects or aspirations of winning All Ireland, they have to have the basics of how to beat Dublin in the back of their mind. You know, we found out countless times that sitting back, Dublin just work it out. Dublin are the ultimate problem solvers. In the county game, they just work it out. You present them with any type of defense, you know, mass defense, zonal defense, they're going to work it out. And what we've seen now is that there's chinks in the armor maybe in that full back line. You know, if we can press them out that wee bit higher, and, you know, the likes of McBrearty, the likes of Jamie Brenner, that wee bit fresher, and, you know, without expending their energy getting back, then we can possibly expose it. Do I think Donegal are at that level yet? No. And Declan and Murphy and the boys, Lacey will be the first to say that they're probably not comfortable of being talked as potential rivals for Donegal. So it's maybe another year, maybe two, before Donegal are at the Dublin level.
So how do you see this group then playing out? Because Kevin, you were saying, like, it could end up in a situation where the three all beat each other and all three of them beat Meath, again, without being disrespectful to Meath. And I know I was told pretty much a Meath man.
No.
Denying it.
No, I played in Meath up until two. This is my third season with Castlerahan, but my both parents and grandparents from Cavan, and all the families from Cavan, but my father moved up to Ballymanus some years ago now, but that's how I played at St. Bridget's and Meath.
Are we underestimating Meath in this group of four?
I think the other three teams are a step ahead. It'll be interesting to see, all right, but no, definitely the other three teams are ahead. It's just what two is going to come out is tricky enough. The game against Mayo and Kerry are playing this again. Probably home advantage will be big, I'd say. So this weekend will tell a lot.
Everybody obviously made a big deal after the Super 8s last year of the provincial champions getting their home game first. The way it's worked out with having Meath in Ballybofey, then having to go to Croke Park to take on Kerry and then go to Castlebar for Mayo last time out, has it worked in Donegal's favour?
I think it has, yeah, definitely. I know there was a lot of noise made last year, and rightly so. If you won your province, you should be rewarded. Like, I think it's a fantastic... Listen, we're not going to disrespect Meath, no, we're not saying that, but it's a fantastic opportunity to get 2 points on the board. Because like you said, if the Meath game was the last game, you could be dead and buried before then. So definitely it's a positive this year.
Yes. You looking at me?
I'm just thinking you're going to enjoy yourself in Castlebar on the last game.
Yeah, you wouldn't know what to expect from Mayo. I mean, how many times we write the boys off? All the time, even this year. Struggling through qualifiers all over the place to get some injuries. Next thing, Killy O'Connor's back. Keegan will be back the next day. And you just think, you never know. Cohen's flying. You mean, Carr last day, the goals. And then you think, maybe they'll be a complete handful in Castlebar. Their game with Kerry is huge now this weekend. Either team's going to get a massive jump out of that there. I mean, Mayo's beat them twice already this year. I think Kerry now, if we look at Cork's performances, Cork are actually a better team than everybody gave them credit for, and everybody abused Kerry after that Munster final. That Cork's a serious handful of a team. So I think, you know, you two boys on side, what, 2-4 and 1-8 the last day? I mean, they're coming with confidence. So, you know, you got to think maybe Kerry are a bit of a better side than we've given them credit for, and that's why the game will tell us so much, us and them and Kroger.
So we learn something about Dublin then actually on Saturday against Cork when they have to go up against Brian Hurley and Mark Collins. If there are question marks of that Dublin full back line, can they do damage, or will Dublin just be so dominant further out the pitch that actually they just won't be able to get the ball?
I think we'll see glimpses of it again, as we've seen a lot of the times during the year. We'll see glimpses of it, but we just not for sustained period, and that's what it has to be. When you're on top of Dublin, you've got to, you know, make it pay. And fortunately, just Dublin are just that good bit ahead of Cork. I think for Cork, it's unfortunate this Dublin game comes up first because they're coming off momentum. If they had faced any of the other two counties, they might have had a chance. But because they're coming off meeting Dublin, then, you know, I'd imagine there's going to be a heavy enough defeat. Any progress that's been made over this last few weeks may be cancelled out. And
their tactics will be fascinating. You know, I think even if they do lose him, and as long as they don't lose too badly, they can take a lot from it, because so many teams are just terrible. Go up to Dublin, maybe not to get a hammer. But if they're tactically right, some way, if they get a rear guard, they've got plenty of pace up front. If they could stay in the game, I think that's massive for them. But their tactics are going to be key, whether that management can put those tactics in place, because if they go up there and play the football they're doing, they'll get taken apart. So that's the big thing. It's all about their tactics.
We're running out of time. How far are Donegal going to go in the championship?
I think there's a semi-final there. My worry is that teams like Tyrone and Mayo, I don't think they were at themselves all the way through their provincial. I think they had their eye on the Super 8s. My worry would be how good Tyrone will be if we have to face them in a semi-final. That's my worry.
Eamon, you mentioned in 07, you know, peaking for the league and struggling to get back up is clearly hasn't been a problem for Donegal during the championship so far. Is there any possibility that they were trying to peak for the Ulster Championship?
Yes, I think, first of all, they needed to get up to Division 1 and play Division 1 football. They managed to do that with, you know, operating at 60% at a push. And at times they were struggling. Till Michael Murphy came back, you know, he transformed the team. But the championship's that's all they've been thinking about. And you chat about provincials, you know, not too many might be seen as disrespectful, but the Dublins, the Kerrys, and, you know, Donegal, like the Neil, McGee, and Murphy, and Frank, they don't give a shit about provincials. It's Super 8, so you're nearly breaking it into three seasons. You get your Division 1, if you get promoted, you maintain Division 1, or you go Dublin do or whatever, won Division 1, Mayo won it, and you see how you take the provincials, and as long as you're in the Super 8s, that's all that matters. And Donegal are there. They'll be a hard team to beat, and I would be just saying the same as Kevin. I don't want to go to Mayo. Mayo looked all but dead and buried. You know, they were like a boxer that was just, you know, in the Armagh game, the next another 5 minutes and they were in big bother. And all it took was that knockout punch. They'd lost Keegan, they'd lost O'Shea, and you were just saying, there's no way this Mayo team can come back. And now suddenly, everybody's talking that they're back, Killian O'Connor's back. They just look so exciting. And I watched the game, the Mayo game again on Sunday morning, and I'd be very, very worried going to Castlebar looking for a result.
Yeah, listen, I think it's a brilliant time to be a Donegal supporter. You know, as much as we went defensive and caused a bit of a sea wave through the country in terms of tactics and games getting crap, let's be honest, now we're lighting it up. I think it's a brilliant time to be a Donegal fan. We're really smart in terms of how we play. I think as we approach teams now, you think back to 2016 quarter-final with Dublin, we were 4 points down under Rory Gallagher. We're sitting in our shell. Kieran Kilkenny's hand-passing the ball over and back. I'm going off my nut up in the stand. What are we doing? Now you know Donegal have a plan for that. And as a fan, all you can do is that there's a plan in place. And, you know, Donegal will give their best in the day, but they'll not be tactically out of the game. There's too many smart guys in the background. And what I'm mostly taking from tonight is from unions, do not run on the door in the warm-up. That's all I'm thinking. Don't do that again.
Oisín, you're the one neutral here. How far are Donegal going to go?
It's definitely semi-final. I think they'll come out of that group. Obviously, these teams are going to be analysing Dublin and trying to find where their weaknesses are, which there's not too many weaknesses there, but these teams are watching them all year, so it'll just be interesting to see what they can find, and they need to up their smarts game, and hopefully someone can slow them down to make it more interesting too.
Yeah,
but,
for sure.
We'll soon find out.
We've been here all night with thanks to Super Value, who are celebrating 10 years as sponsor of the All-Ireland Senior Football Championship. Please give it up for all our guests this evening, Oisin Kiernan, Brendan Devaney, and your Gaeilge legends, Eamon McGee and Kevin Cassidy. Thank you all very much for your very warm welcome. Thanks a lot for coming out. We'll talk to you all again soon. Good luck.
GAA on Off the Ball.